This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Did you know that right now, GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit GEICO.com to learn more.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Harris claims the spotlight. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka. On this Thursday, August 20th, welcome aboard. Here's what we have for you this hour.
California Senator Kamala Harris has officially accepted the Democratic vice presidential nomination. You'll hear her remarks from Delaware.
House Democrats have unveiled legislation that would inject $25 billion into the cash-poor Postal Service. They'll vote on the bill Saturday.
Hundreds of wildfires sparked by nearly 11,000 lightning strikes have forced many Californians to flee their homes.
And what parents need to know if their kid gets sent home from school this fall due to COVID.
As children get ready to go back to school, the threshold for who gets sent home is much lower. So parents may find themselves with a child at home just because of a runny nose, which would have never happened.
Alina Dizek at the Wall Street Journal on what to do if your child is exposed at school to the new coronavirus. California Senator Kamala Harris has formally accepted the Democratic vice presidential nomination, the first black woman to hold that position. During her primetime remarks last night from the Chase Center in Wilmington, Delaware, Ms. Harris paid homage to her mother, an Indian immigrant, and black women who paved the way for her. She also argued that Joe Biden is the uniting leader the country needs.
We have shown that when we vote, we expand access to health care and expand access to the ballot box and ensure that more working families can make a decent living.
She was joined on stage after her speech by her husband and Mr. Biden and his wife, who greeted her from a few feet away as a large screen showed supporters clapping from their homes. Ms. Harris's role during the campaign is still being figured out, according to the Wall Street Journal. Strategists expect her events to continue to be mostly virtual as the team monitors the pandemic and state-by-state health guidelines. House Democrats have introduced a bill that would require same-day processing for mail-in ballots and give the Postal Service a $25 billion infusion. Lawmakers are now scheduled to vote on the legislation on Saturday, though there is little chance for passage in the Republican-led Senate. The bill would also prevent the Postal Service from implementing policies to alter service levels that were in effect at the beginning of this year. White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows.
There's no way to ever make it profitable and make it last. What we do need to do is understand that on parcels, we need to up the amount of money that we're charging for parcels.
Democrats and Republicans engaged in a war of words. Democrats have accused President Trump of trying to impair the Postal Service to suppress mail-in voting ahead of the November election. Meanwhile, House Republican leaders urged their rank and file to vote against the bill that they have called the USPS Conspiracy Theory Act. The lawmakers from both major political parties are growing increasingly worried by the stalemate over a coronavirus aid package, but internal divisions on each side are complicating their efforts to propose new measures. Christina Peterson at the Wall Street Journal has been tracking the movements on Capitol Hill. Christina, where are we right now?
Well, officially, there's not much real action occurring. The congressional Democratic leaders and White House officials have not met in more than a week, and there hasn't really been any official changing from their positions. Democrats still want Republicans to agree to spend more, and Republicans are not interested in spending more than $1 trillion, and say Democrats just are throwing a liberal wish list at the crisis. But we do see some unrest from rank-and-file lawmakers who are growing pretty uncomfortable with this stalemate and not taking any further action. So in the Senate, there are Republicans who are proposing to put together what they're referring to as a skinny bill. So it's a smaller, cheaper version of what they introduced late last month that would not include the direct checks, for instance, but it does include $300 in weekly federal unemployment insurance, money for health care, money for education. It would turn a $10 billion loan for the Postal Service into a grant, and there would be legal protections for businesses and healthcare facilities. So that is getting some traction. They're sort of figuring out right now if there's enough support to proceed with that. It's not likely that that would actually ever become law, since we don't expect any Democrats to support that. So basically, they would be putting that out there and voting on it to show that they're more unified around this proposal. Earlier, the slightly more expensive Senate GOP plan had not really gotten as much support from their conference members, and they ended up never taking a vote on it, in part because they just didn't want to showcase their divisions, and they felt that weakened them in the negotiations.
All right, so the skinny bill is less than $1 trillion?
Right. They expect it to be about half that amount.
Okay. So that's not even the direction Democrats were hoping for at all, because they took $1 trillion off their original $3.5 trillion measure that the House passed in May, right?
That's right. Democrats want Republicans to be spending more money, not less.
We're speaking with Christina Peterson, congressional reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called Next Steps on Coronavirus Stimulus Package Divide Both Parties. So the Postal Service figures into this too, right? Because didn't the Chief of Staff, Mark Meadows, say something along the lines of, if House Democrats or Democrats agree to kind of a one-off with the Postal Service funding, then they might be okay with a skinny bill?
Right. The White House has been pushing for some kind of skinny bill if they can't reach a larger agreement, which they have not been able to do thus far. And House Democratic leaders have rebuffed the idea of doing a skinny bill. They say we don't want to leave out any of our priorities, like food stamps, that Republicans have not been as supportive of. But the Postal Service has turned into its own full-on fight. And so House Democratic leaders are convening the House on Saturday for a vote on funding the Postal Service and codifying that it can't make some of these changes that the Postmaster General has said that they will suspend. But it's a little bit more of a vigorous approach to that. But there are some House Democrats who say, look, we don't want to just vote on the Postal Service. We'd also like to vote on reinstating the federal unemployment insurance at a higher level. So there is some pressure from some House Democrats to take more steps. So far, there doesn't seem to be any consensus. Right now, the only vote that we know of on Saturday is on the Postal Service. But the White House is saying, listen, if Democrats are willing to do the Postal Service, what else could we pair with that?
Aren't lawmakers kind of desperate for a win to wave around on the campaign trail and say, hey, voters, look what we did for you?
Yes, I think this puts vulnerable lawmakers in a very difficult position, because there is a lot of pressure to produce a deal. And the question is just what kind of compromises party leaders on both sides are willing to make. And so far, we just haven't seen a lot of willingness to make those big compromises. And part of it is we're getting closer and closer to an election, and that always makes it harder.
All right. Thanks, Christina. Christina Peterson, Wall Street Journal reporter for Congress. It is 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When you talk to a Dell Technologies advisor, they're focused on you. They are real people ready to give real advice on everything from laptops to the cloud. And they offer tailored solutions powered by the Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Dell advisors listen so you know that your small business needs have been met. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
As you get back to business, small things can make a big difference. Like marking safe distances with floor tape and posting reminders to wash hands. As always, Grainger is here to help, offering supplies and solutions for every industry. Free access to product specialists, 24/7 support, safety recovery guides, and more. It's part of our commitment to help you adapt and recover in these challenging times. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Thursday. Unnerving times in parts of California right now, thanks to Mother Nature. For example, thousands of people were under evacuation orders in regions around the San Francisco Bay Area yesterday as wildfires roared across the state during a blistering heat wave now in its second week. From space, satellites from the National Weather Service were able to see the smoke that blanketed San Francisco. In all, Governor Gavin Newsom said firefighters are battling 367 known wildfires across California, including 23 that are considered major fires. Of those 367, he said the prospect of that number going up is very real.
130 degree temperature here in the state of California, the highest recorded certainly in modern history, potentially in human history, in Death Valley.
Mr. Newsom said the state has recorded nearly 11,000 lightning strikes in 72 hours. The largest fire burning in California, a blaze made up of 20 separate fires burning near San Jose, has been named the SCU Lightning Complex Fire. 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Rasa Kay.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Joe Biden's running mate, Senator Kamala Harris, accepted her nomination at the Democratic National Convention. Also speaking were former President Barack Obama.
Donald Trump hasn't grown into the job because he can't.
And former presidential candidate Hillary Clinton.
I wish Donald Trump knew how to be a president, because America needs a president right now.
Number two.
The FDA is pumping the brakes on approving the use of blood plasma as a treatment for COVID-19. Dr. Anthony Fauci and other top public health officials asked them to hold off, citing lack of strong data from the country's largest plasma study run by the Mayo Clinic.
Number three.
Unrelenting lightning strikes have sparked dozens of wildfires in Northern California's wine country, causing one death, burning dozens of structures, and forcing thousands to flee their homes. Cal Fire spokesman Jeremy Ron.
The size and complexity at which these incidents are burning is challenging all aspects of emergency response. It is critical that the community heeds the warnings of law enforcement and remain prepared to evacuate at a moment's notice.
A group of fires covering over 46,000 acres near Vacaville raced through hills and mountains, destroying 50 buildings. Democratic leaders, particularly in battleground states, are ready to urge voters to submit mail ballots weeks ahead of the election or else vote in person, in light of the Trump-appointed new Postmaster General's cost-cutting moves at the U.S. Postal Service. A group of 90 Democrats in the House of Representatives is calling on the Postal Service's Board of Directors, governors, to immediately remove Postmaster General Louis DeJoy. Russian opposition fixture Alexei Navalny is unconscious in a hospital with suspected poisoning. The anti-corruption campaigner fell ill during a flight on a and the plane made an emergency landing in the city of Omsk. Navalny is a staunch critic of President Vladimir Putin, describing June's vote on constitutional reforms that allow Putin to serve another two terms in office as a coup. Researchers at the University of Pittsburgh have figured out how to use the accelerometer in your smartphone to assess walking patterns to tell if you're drunk. They tested it on people who'd imbibed to a breath alcohol concentration of 0.2%, 90% accuracy when strapping the phone to the user's lower back and analyzing changes in how they walked over time. Now they'll see if it works when you hold it in your hand.
Thank you, Rasa. 23 minutes now after the hour. The t-shirt is a menswear staple. Unfortunately, the basic tee we love has its issues, right? Shrinkage, bacon neck, fading, and stretching, to name a few. But the modern take on the classic t-shirt from Cuts Clothing has completely changed the game. With their amazingly soft, custom-engineered Pika Pro fabric, Cuts t-shirts have an athletic, tailored-looking fit that's comfortable anywhere, from a day in the office to a night on the town, and everything in between. I have to say, I love my Cuts t-shirts. I've worn them casually with shorts and sandals, but also under my suit jacket in more professional settings. They're one of the most comfortable, durable, and fashionably flexible shirts I've ever owned. Plus, they're pre-shrunk, wrinkle-free, and hold their shape over time, no matter what style you prefer. That's why Cuts is the only shirt worth wearing. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. Again, cutsclothing.com/Gordon. Thanks for joining us. Here's a scenario many of us face in the coming days or weeks. Your child has been sent home from school after becoming sick following possible exposure to the new coronavirus. What should you do? We're joined now by Alina Dizik, contributing reporter to the Wall Street Journal. Alina, what should we know?
As children get ready to go back to school, the threshold for who gets sent home is much lower. So parents may find themselves with a child at home just because of a runny nose, which would have never happened in years past.
Okay, so if this happens, we get the call saying
come pick up your child's, his or her day is over. What's the next step?
So the next step, if you get a call to pick up your child, the next step is to determine whether they've actually been near somebody for 15 minutes or more within 6 feet of them who has tested positive for coronavirus. And what you do then kind of depends on whether you can positively identify that or not.
Okay. Call the pediatrician, right? Get some insight from these guys.
Yeah. So you call a pediatrician, and a lot of times the pediatrician may not want to have the child tested. So you may end up just looking for symptoms at home, taking their temperature, seeing if they have a cough, and just kind of waiting it out. And the consensus is from the federal guidelines, it says that you have to wait 10 days after the onset of symptoms before you can send a child back to school.
We're speaking with Alina Dizek, contributor to the Wall Street Journal. She's written a piece entitled, What to Do If Your Child May Have Been Exposed to COVID-19. All right. You said in your story, too, known exposure doesn't always warrant testing. How is that determined?
So they usually look for known exposure and a symptom or two before they decide to test. So a lot of times you may just be waiting it out at home because children are known to have milder symptoms.
Yeah. All right. So if you're going to wait it out at home, what's the guidance with the child at home? Because obviously you don't want the rest of the family infected.
Yeah. If you are waiting it out at home, they say to parents to keep as far away as possible from the child. Obviously not very doable when you have a small child, but they say to do things like wipe down surfaces or even considering both you and the child to wear masks if there's someone really high risk in the home.
Thanks, Alina. Alina Dizek, contributing reporter to the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. We've heard for years that it's important to have a diversified portfolio, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, that kind of thing. But if you've ever looked at a breakdown of the most successful portfolios, you'll typically see real estate. So why isn't it one of the first asset classes you consider when you're looking to diversify? Well, simple. It hasn't been available to investors like you and me until now, thanks to Fundrise. Whether you're new to real estate investing or a veteran, Fundrise can help. Fundrise is an investing platform that makes investing in high quality, high potential real estate as easy as investing in your favorite stock or mutual fund. Fundrise manages more than $1 billion in assets for more than 130,000 investors with a team of real estate professionals that carefully vets real estate projects. Start building your better portfolio today. Get started at fundrise.com/Gordon to have your first 90 days of advisory fees waived. That's fundrise.com/Gordon to have your first 90 days of advisory fees waived. Fundrise.com/Gordon.
Cutting through the clutter to bring you the people and stories that matter to you. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Thursday, August 20th. Gordon Deal with Rasa Kay, who's filling in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Kamala Harris formally accepts the Democrats' VP nomination. Wildfires chase thousands from their homes in California. Colorado battling its second largest blaze in state history. President Trump wants to restore UN sanctions on Iran after the Security Council failed to extend an expiring arms embargo. A former FBI lawyer pleads guilty to making a false statement in Durham's probe into the Russia investigation. AMC theaters reopened today, and how COVID gray hair is getting trendy. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Capital One. Capital One is right in the palm of your hand, so you can check your balance, deposit checks, pay bills, and transfer money from your phone with a top-rated app. This is Banking Reimagined. Get started online anytime. What's in your wallet? Capital One N.A., member FDIC. The stock market continues with its head-scratching performance, even though the indexes were off by less than 1% yesterday. On Tuesday, the S&P 500 rose to 3389, eclipsing its previous record high in February to finish at the highest closing level on record. That means this year's bear market, or a drop of more than 20% from a peak from the February high to the lows on March 23rd,
was the shortest in history. Why is there so much investor enthusiasm, and can more records be set in the coming weeks? We're joined now by Jessica Menton, markets reporter at USA Today. Jess, what are you hearing?
It's quite the turnaround in just about 5 months that we've seen, and it is a head-scratcher for a lot of people wondering, well, we're in a recession and millions of people are still out of work, how it could even be possible that stocks would be at records now. And, you know, something that's interesting, looking back through history, this isn't actually something that's unusual. Higher stock prices during recessions have happened in the past, and stocks have risen during 7 of the past 12 recessions going back to World War II, with a median average advance of 5.7%. And so, but leaving, you know, just watching the staggering amount of people that are still out of work, you know, people are wondering how could this possibly be happening? And one big driver that has to do with what we've been seeing is the amount of government aid that looking at with Congress and then also the Federal Reserve stepping in the spring to help prop up the economy as we were gripped by a recession. And even though stocks are back at highs, there's still millions of people that are out of work, and, you know, about 56 million Americans have sought unemployment aid in just 21 weeks since the pandemic has really took hold on the economy. But looking back in the past, it's not unusual for stocks to be at highs, even since we're in a recession. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that investors look at this as forward-looking. They saw where we are at now. Investors knew we'd be here about 5 months ago. They didn't need to wait for all of the weekly or monthly jobs report or jobless claims data to see. They could tell that 5 months ago. And so now stocks are pricing in where they think we could be 6 to 12 months from now.
Jeez. You know, because as you absorb this on a very basic level, you're thinking, right, if folks are suffering financially because tens of million people are out of work, the government benefits, you know, flew out the door for a while. Obviously, the people are dying. They're on ventilators. And I'm just wondering, like, what do investors see? Because this, I guess, is not necessarily about corporate earnings here, or corporate earnings okay too?
So it happened to be that second quarter earnings were better than feared. And we're at the tail end of earnings season right now for the second quarter. But a lot of major retailers reported this week, and we're looking at Walmart, even when you're looking at Home Depot, Lowe's, Target, a lot of these companies have come out and they've really beaten expectations just by the drive of demand by the consumer. The consumer takes up more than 2/3 of economic growth. And so when investors see that and economists see that, that does bode well for the economy moving forward. But as you said, although there have been signs of improvement in the labor market recently, there's still about 13 million jobs lost since the pandemic took hold. And so there's still a lot of hurt out there for a lot of workers. But basically, when I've talked to traders and analysts, this is how they describe it to me. It's not necessarily good or bad news that will drive things. It's whether or not things are improving. And when you look at the most recent jobless claims report that came out last Thursday, from earlier this month, it was the first time that claims fell below 1 million since the shutdown began. And although that figure still remains above the peak during the housing crisis, it still shows that things are beginning to improve. And those are different indicators that a lot of investors are looking at right now. So although things are still painful, there are signs that things are improving. And also other areas of the economy, looking at the housing market, that's something that has held up well. That is also giving investors confidence moving forward.
I'm speaking with Jess Menton, USA Today personal finance and markets reporter. She's written a piece entitled, How Did the Stock Market Hit a Record Amid COVID-19-Fueled Recession? Does history tell us that we can learn anything about the months ahead? Nobody can predict the market, obviously, but what does history say?
Right. Obviously, it's hard to predict what could happen because, as you know, no one saw the pandemic coming. But looking forward, usually stocks typically are poised for more gains when they have gained this much. And investors are really betting that the pandemic will eventually end with some sort of vaccine. And as I said, large rallies are usually followed by continued gains. But again, a lot of people are thinking that depending on, say, if there's the timeline with the vaccine, if it gets pushed back at all, that could be a challenge for the stock market to rebound.
Thanks, Jess. Jessica Menton, markets reporter at USA Today. Thanks for joining us, and welcome into Friday Eve. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, there are a few things that can turn around a tough week quicker than a couple of dog stories. First, we take you to the airport, where the sight of a dog working in the security screening line is about the only pleasant experience. Now the TSA is holding a contest to find the cutest of its bomb-sniffing pups and asking the public to vote for a winner. TSA handlers from around the country nominated their partners, and the candidates have been narrowed down to four dogs, one from Hawaii, one from Arizona, one from Texas, and one from California. Each of these dogs is trained to detect explosive materials, which the TSA describes as the greatest threat to the aviation system. The TSA said it has more than 1,000 explosives detection canine teams. The dogs and their handlers screen passengers, cargo, mass transit, and other systems. Voting is underway on the TSA's Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram accounts and will run through Friday. The top dog will be announced on National Dog Day, which is coming up on Wednesday, the 26th. So there you go.
All right. So betting money is on a lab, I would imagine, a hound of some kind, a shepherd.
Yeah, sure.
Right? They're the ones who are like, they're the bomb sniffers.
Right. Right?
The explosive detectors.
Right.
Not like a Chihuahua or a Yorkie or something.
Yeah, I don't think there are many Yorkie bomb sniffing dogs, as far as I know. Not to discriminate against dog breeds, but I don't believe so.
And listen, they are more than eligible to win like the cutest ankle biters category.
Right.
Yes, by all means.
Yeah, there are plenty of contests in which they will win. This is probably not one
of
them.
If you can't take the heat, stay out of the kitchen.
Right. And there are a few things that will get a dog more excited than when you grab the leash for a walk around the neighborhood. And now one country is on the verge of mandating daily dog walking for everyone. A new law in Germany may require dog owners to take their pets for walks twice a day for at least an hour total. If passed, the new law could take effect early next year. Officials say the new law is meant to ensure animal welfare and comes alongside other proposed rules, including not keeping dogs chained for long periods of time and not allowing dogs to be left alone for the whole day. Officials did say that while the rules do apply to everyone, private dog owners were not the target of the new law, with the emphasis on dog breeders and kennels.
Okay, fair enough. Tough to enforce, though.
I mean, look, we all should walk our dogs as much as possible, but, you know, if it's one of those days where it's like 0 degrees outside, it's tough. It's tough to be outside for an hour when you got frostbite coming along. Even the dog is like, all right, you know, let's get back inside.
This time of year, too.
Yeah, right.
In the summer, it's tough.
Yeah.
I know. We take our lab out, and when she gets back, I mean, she loves walks.
Yeah.
But when she gets back inside in the heat, she just collapses on the floor. Any cold floor imaginable just sprawls out, you know, for at least a 20-minute nap.
Let's take the dog's feelings in consideration here when we make these laws.
Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When you talk to a Dell Technologies advisor, they're focused on you. They are real people, ready to give real advice on everything from laptops to the cloud. And they offer tailored solutions powered by the Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Dell advisors listen so you know that your small business needs have been met. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Thanks for being with us. Researchers in Finland think they have discovered the cure to hangovers. Fox News says in a study in the journal Alcohol and Alcoholism, university researchers found amino acid L-cysteine relieved alcohol-reduced ailments such as nausea, headache, and stress and anxiety. With a randomized double-blind study of 19 males with a placebo control group, the researchers examined the effects of 1,200 milligrams and 600 milligram doses of L-cysteine. The volunteers were tasked with consuming alcohol over a three-hour period and then either taking a placebo or the L-cysteine tablet. Key disclosure here, by the way, the study received funding from a company that sells L-cysteine tablets. According to the results, L-cysteine was found to have reduced or eliminated hangover symptoms. L-cysteine, a form of cysteine, which is an amino acid important for making protein and other metabolic functions, has been used previously to help treat arthritis and the hardening of arteries. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Rasa Kay.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Senator Kamala Harris accepted the nomination as vice president at the virtual Democratic National Convention last night, pledging action and transparency.
I pledge to you that we will act boldly and deal with our challenges honestly.
Number two.
A new directive from the Department of Health and Human Services temporarily preempts local restrictions, and starting this fall, pharmacists in all 50 states can give childhood vaccinations. HHS Chief Alex Azar is using emergency powers during the pandemic to help prevent vaccination rates from falling and stave off future outbreaks of measles and other preventable diseases.
Number three.
Tens of thousands of people have already fled their homes, and mandatory evacuations are in effect for parts of Sonoma, Napa, and Solano counties in Northern California. The eight wildfires known as the Lightning Complex have led to at least one death, burned more than 46,000 acres, and destroyed at least 50 buildings. White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow says the economy is rebounding very, very strongly, and defended a reduction in the unemployment supplement to $300 from $600, saying stimulus cash should be reduced as the economy strengthens.
At this point, with inventories at rock bottom and all kinds of consumer and auto demands rising, I think you've got a self-sustaining recovery. And the stimulus remains, I want to say that, the assistance remains, but at a somewhat slower pace.
House Democrats have unveiled legislation that would require same-day processing for mail-in ballots and give the cash-strapped Postal Service a $25 billion infusion while erasing changes pursued by the agency's new leader, Trump ally and donor Louis DeJoy. President Trump was asked about the bizarre QAnon viral conspiracy theory that's gained a widespread following among people who believe the president is secretly battling a criminal band of sex traffickers and cannibals. His response?
I don't know much about the movement other than I understand they like me very much, which I appreciate.
Trump suggested QAnon proponents are patriots upset with unrest in Democratic cities.
Thank you, Rasa. It is now 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. At the start of lockdowns, separated from their hairdressers and the rest of the world, many decided to seize the moment and finally go gray. Women's hair and men's beards alike. It's now 5 months and several inches later, and the Wall Street Journal says something radical is happening. People are embracing their new look, awkward roots and all. 50-year-old Janine Vogel of Plano, Illinois, has colored her own hair every few weeks since she was a teenager. Ms. Vogel, who runs a cleaning service, says she stopped coloring during COVID and now said she's never felt so free. Her mother, though, says her daughter's gray hair makes her look old. Thanks, Ma. Men growing multicolored COVID beards for the first time are also drawing plenty of unsolicited commentary about the salt mixing with the pepper. 62-year-old John Labosco, a lawyer in Cape Elizabeth, Maine, who is sporting long hair and his first gray beard, is getting plenty of social media feedback. He says some people have said he looks intellectual, like Hemingway, but others are confusing him with the Unabomber. That'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Did you know that right now GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more.